And if you do have a Bible, please have it open in front of you at Exodus chapter 34. Let's start off with a quick question. Are you a patient person? Are you a patient person? Patience is one of those values that, or those virtues that we really value in other people, but we find it hard to put into practice ourselves. We naturally expect other people to be patient with us, but we don't always return that kindness to other people. The classic example of this is when we're out driving in our cars. As soon as people sit down in a car, we seem to change. We forget that other cars have got people in them. So when another car is a little bit slow off the mark because of the traffic lights, or they do something a little bit silly, we get really frustrated. Maybe we even get quite angry with them. But that's so different to how we're like when we're walking around a supermarket, where we might see someone who's struggling to reach a box and we might get it for them, of course, before COVID. And if there's you're in the queue at the checkout, and you might let someone go in front of you if they need that little bit of help. But as soon as we sit down in a car, the other person is depersonalized and we reveal our impatient nature. A lack of patience seems to be something that is deep-rooted within our DNA. There's something within us which seems to think that we are more important than other people. We expect others to see and understand and appreciate our value, so we expect them to be really patient with our mistakes, really long-suffering. But as soon as the shoe is on the other foot, and we have to show patience, we just get frustrated. We really do seem to get so many things upside down and inside out. Fortunately for us, the one who is really the center of all things, the one who has made everything and given life to all, the one who everyone has a responsibility to recognize and worship because of the things that he's done for them, he is slow to anger. He is long-suffering. He is incredibly patient, which is wonderful news for us. And it is, of course, wonderful news for Moses and the Israelites back in Exodus chapter 34. We're returning to that really important description of what God is like. God is revealing himself a little bit more to Moses. Moses is in this fascinating situation where God has just brought the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. He's led them through the wilderness, provided for their needs, despite their grumbling. Then he's got to Mount Sinai. The people have agreed to enter into a covenant with God Almighty. And the first thing that they do is break the covenant by making an image of God, which is the golden calf. Upon seeing this, Moses is grieved at their sin. But the Lord does not punish all of the people. He demonstrates there that he is slow to anger. And then Moses, after prayer, he's gone back up the mountain and he's going to receive two new stone tablets, which have got the law written on again. He broke the first stone tablets when he saw what the people had done. And he asked to see God face to face. And he's not allowed to see God face to face because that would have been the end of him. But he's allowed to see God's back. And he hears God declaring what he's like, which are these two important verses in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. And we're thinking about how God is slow to anger, how he is patient, how he is long-suffering. And this is a wonderful attribute of God that maybe we don't think about all that much. God has got perfect patience. And this perfect patience does a lot more than simply waiting for someone to get their act together and get moving. Instead, this patience continues to wait even when it is difficult. I think one way to picture the long-suffering patience of God is to imagine that you're out on a walk and someone gets a stone in their shoe. Now, if you're out with children and they get a stone in their shoe, that's it. It's the absolute end of the world. You've got to stop and you've got to get the shoe off and the stone out as quickly as possible. But with adults, it's a little bit different, isn't it? We all know what it's like. We sort of shake our foot around a little bit, and we try and get the stone down between our toes where it doesn't hurt too much, and we just keep going, even though it's a little bit uncomfortable. And it's actually a sign of our patience and how long-suffering we are, how long we can put up with this stone in our shoe. Well, with God, it's, God is, of course, so much bigger than us, and no illustration ever captures it. But it's sort of that image of being able to put up with something, a situation which is far from ideal, which is completely wrong, a situation which you can very easily resolve. And remember, with God's patience, he can very easily resolve any situation whatsoever. And as we look at Exodus, time and time again, we see God's patience, his long-suffering with the nation of Israel. We've recounted what's happened in the run-up to this passage, but we know the rest of the story. So let's look ahead, through the rest of Exodus and into the following books. We see this journey to the promised land. And time and time again, the nation of Israel tests the Lord's patience. And in the book of Numbers, when they finally leave Sinai, we see that they complain about the lack of food. And then we've got Miriam and Aaron questioning Moses' leadership. And then when they get to Canaan, 10 out of the 12 spies give a bad report, which leads God deciding to wait for the next generation before Canaan would be conquered. And then you continue as you go through the pages of the Bible. In Judges, the people keep on turning to idolatry. And then they reject the God as their king, and they want their own king. And after the golden age of David and Solomon, which is the only time when there's really peace in that period when Solomon's on the throne, the nation then splits into two kingdoms, with both of them seeking after other gods. And finally, the Lord's patience comes to an end. They've broken the covenant, and they receive what the covenant says is the right punishment, and they are sent into exile. But even then, God continues to show his patience and love, because he brings them back. All the way through the Old Testament, we see God showing incredible love and patience towards the nation of Israel. And this patience gives us a rich insight into what the true and living God is really like. He is not always as angry and ready to punish as some people think. Nor does he turn a blind eye to our weaknesses and failings. He knows exactly what we are like, and he is patient and slow to anger. And we've seen this patience clearly demonstrated in his approach to the nation of Israel. But before we get too big for our boots and start thinking that we could never behave like they did, in reality, and according to Scripture, each one of us has received exactly the same amount of patience and long-suffering and tolerance from the Lord. Just fast forward to the New Testament and think about Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 26. Here the Apostle Paul writes, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood, to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." This paragraph comes at a critical moment in the letter to the Romans. Paul has just spent most of the first 2.5 chapters explaining why no one, either Jew or Gentile, is righteous before God. But then he comes to this point where he explains the gospel message and how people are justified, declared righteous because of the death of Christ. But then look at verse 25. God is doing this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Forbearance is a word which is linked with restraint, It's a word that's linked with patience. We have to remember that God is perfectly holy, righteous, and just, which means he would be expected to punish sin the moment that we fall into error. The moment that we become guilty, God would be right in punishing us for our sin. But instead, God holds off punishment and waits. During those years of waiting, from the time of Adam and Eve right the way through to the cross, God was open to the charge of ignoring the offense of sin. Right through the pages of the Old Testament, we see God almost turning a blind eye to many, many sins. Not all of them, but many sins it seems that God is ignoring. Only in extreme cases do we see God treating people as their sins deserve. He did this because he knew that one day he would punish his son for the sins of those who will believe. And one day those that are guilty and have not turned to Jesus in repentance will be punished themselves by being cast into hell. One day every person who has ever lived will know by experience that God is holy, just, righteous, and very, very patient. They will understand how either people are forgiven because Jesus was punished in our place, or they bear the punishment themselves. And they will recognize that through their whole lives, God has been patient with them. But of course, God's patience today does lead to a misunderstanding. A misunderstanding that we see being recorded in Scripture. It's written very clearly in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 and to 13, where we read, "When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. Although a wicked person who commits 100 crimes may live a long time, I know that it will go better with those who fear God, who are reverent before him. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow." That first verse there is picking up that point. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. In the long run, God makes it all right. But in the short run, when God does not punish sin quickly, people are emboldened to do it again and to do it bigger and to do it worse. Just like someone who is on a self-destructive cycle in our society, they always start off with small crimes. And then things get bigger and bigger and bigger until it's something very serious and they're caught red-handed and get in a lot of trouble. And this is even more the case in the society that we live in. While some people believe in a God of their own making, most people live as if God doesn't exist. They've completely forgotten God. And the idea that they will one day be answerable to the God who has made them is in their minds considered ridiculous. They believe that only what they can see and touch and feel is real. They believe that they're able to create their own morality. What they feel is right is okay for them to do. And provided no one else gets hurt and the law that land says it's okay, do what you want. People feel that they're free to determine what is right and wrong themselves. People who live like this are in a very dangerous place because they have become deaf to the gospel message. When the gospel is shared with them, they do not see themselves as guilty. They don't see any need to repent because in their own minds, they've decided that they've done nothing wrong at all. And therefore, they think that the gospel message is for other people. They may think that the gospel is all right for other people, but it does not apply to them. It's important that we pray for these people, because even the best arguments in the world will not convince them that they are mistaken. As we were reminded last week when Justin talked about Ephesians 2, we were dead in our sins, unable to respond. Only God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, can soften people's hearts so that they respond to the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we really do need to be praying for people. Prayer supporting evangelism is absolutely essential. So pray. Pray that the Lord will soften hearts and open people's eyes. Pray that people will see what they're really like and they will respond to the gospel message. And at the same time, as we think of this, we also need to be filled with gratitude, because we know that once upon a time, we were an unrighteous person, a person who was a sinner. And while we were in that state, we've got to recognize that God showed incredible patience with us. Remember what you were before God saved you. Some of us were saved as children. Others were saved as adults. Each one of us was saved in God's perfect timing at the moment of God's choosing. God was slow to anger, long-suffering and patient with each one of us. I'm sure we can all remember things that we've done which we would never even think about doing today. All that time, God was there, patiently waiting for the appointed time. He did not treat us as our sins deserved, and then those evil deeds and their consequences were taken away from us by the Lord Jesus Christ when we put our trust in him. We are loved far more than we realize, and have more reasons than we think to praise the Lord and to seek to follow his will. Because in the face of such patience, all we can do is show gratitude and, of course, obedience to do the things that the Lord wants us to do. That's how we can respond to the patience he has shown with us. So what does the Lord want us to do? Well, many things, but a central one is found in Romans 8, verse 29, where we see that the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts so that we are conformed to the image of Christ. We are slowly becoming more and more like Jesus, which means as believers, there's a lot that we can learn from the Gospels. We can look at how Jesus behaved when he was on earth and see how we should be behaving. And when it comes to the topic of patience, looking at our Lord, he's absolutely outstanding. He has got incredible patience right from the very start of his ministry. Just think about those temptations in the desert. He was being tempted to abandon God's way of doing things and take a shortcut. Satan was offering him a shortcut so that all the nations of the world would bow down before him. Well, one day we know that's going to happen when the Lord returns. But Satan was giving him a shortcut. The hasty, the person who was impatient and eager to get the job done as quick as possible, could easily have taken that. But our Lord resists that temptation. And he steps out in obedience to God the Father. And he took the long road to the cross. He did the job properly. And this took great patience, because we all know how dangerous it is taking shortcuts, especially when it comes to DIY. How many of us have discovered that a DIY shortcut does not work? Yeah, we really know that, don't we? And then think about the patience that our Lord displayed with people. Several times when he is exhausted, people come to him for help. And at that moment, most people would say, "Come back tomorrow. You know, when I'm feeling a bit better, when I've had some sleep." But not our Lord. He died to self. He ministered to those in need. And in so doing, he showed great patience with people. Because we all know how a knock on the door, a neighbor asking for help, just before bedtime, really does bring out the worst in us, doesn't it? We don't like that whatsoever. Then, of course, there's the patience that Jesus shows with his disciples. They constantly got the wrong end of the stick. They never really understood what his teaching was all about. No, just think about Peter. Jesus shows incredible patience and long-suffering with them as well. This is the kind of patience that we need to cultivate with people. A patience that waits for the Lord to act rather than just taking shortcuts. A patience that is willing to sacrifice our free time and even much needed rest in order to help others. A patience that meets people where they are at and waits for them to understand, being willing to go over things repeatedly, time and time again. Now, patience itself is not something that we can develop in our own strength. Patience or forbearance is one of the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5:22, which means that if you are someone who is short of patience, admit your need to the Lord and ask that with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can develop in this area. Because we all have so much need of patience. We have to learn patience as we wait for the Lord to answer prayer. We live in this sort of fast food, just click on a link internet culture, which demands instant answers and instant gratification. And then we come to the Lord in prayer and he doesn't answer just like that. Sometimes, often, we have to wait for the Lord to answer our prayers. We need to be patient and we need to trust that he will answer our prayers in the correct way at the correct time. And he knows all things, so we trust that he will answer our prayers in the right way. We also need to, cultivate this patience with people, don't we? No, we need to be ready to be patient and long-suffering with other folk when they do come and ask us for all sorts of things. And personally, many of us just don't like waiting for things. Now, there's some things that it's right that we don't want to wait for. We've reminded ourselves of Romans 8:29 and how we're being conformed to the image of Christ. And every healthy Christian will want to be as much like the Lord Jesus Christ as possible. So that's an area where we can be impatient. And we can want to change, and that's right. But in other situations, we do need to learn patience. Just to look at the situation we find ourselves in today. We are facing a long road out of lockdown, which is going to take far longer than people expected. During these days of waiting, the patient person will have a lot more peace than the hasty. And while we long for the end of the lockdown restrictions, there's another more important date in the diary that we have to patiently wait for. The return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do not know when, but we know that one day Jesus will return to this earth. And when he comes back, everything will change. For the believer, it will be the best day in the world. But absolutely terrifying for those who do not believe, because they will discover that God is very different to an imaginary deity, or even worse, the God that they had forgotten really existed. If this morning you are one of those people who do not believe, then I would like to point you to one more scripture which brings out the Lord's patience once again. A scripture that will help you because it gives you hope. In 2 Peter 3 verse 9 we read, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." The context of this passage is the much anticipated and long awaited return of the Lord. What this verse is saying is that God has got that day on hold, as it were. He's patiently waiting so that everyone has got the opportunity to come to repentance. Repentance is making that U-turn in your life. Instead of going your own way, you go God's way. This morning, if you have not made this step of faith, or this morning if you're listening to a recording, there is still time because God, in his patience, has not yet sent his son back into the world. There's an opportunity to get yourself sorted out with God. All you have to do is admit that you're guilty of inventing a God of your own imagination or living as if God does not exist, of doing things that deep down you know are wrong. Admit these things, then trust that Jesus can forgive you. He can forgive you because God punished him in the place of all those who would come to him and ask for forgiveness. That way, justice is done. God is vindicated. He's no longer guilty of turning a blind eye to sin because sin is really punished in the death of his son. God is patiently waiting for people to come to saving faith before the end is called. The door is open, but we do not know for how much longer. People who hear this message and feel that it's right to turn to Christ, but then decide to put it off, don't always get another chance. Today is the day to trust in Jesus. And we also know that each day is getting us a day closer to the Lord's return. The clock is ticking. We really do not know how much longer we have got. Time is running out. So don't miss the one real opportunity that you have to have a fresh start, to become a new creation. Take advantage of God's perfect patience and experience the wonders of God's love, acceptance, forgiveness, and the wonderful future that believers enjoy. Amen.